You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls His people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin.
And good morning to the front line on this wonderful Monday morning. This is the 15th. We're right smack dab in the middle of the month. And if we didn't do well the first 15 days, let's get better, right? We have a little time before we burn through the rest of the year. Anyway, this is David Francoeur, and I'm delighted to be here as your co-host. I'm hosting this with two other fine people whom you know. But yet, even though you know them, I'm going to introduce them again. Because we've all gotten older since last Monday. Who knows?
We all look 70.
We all do look older. Especially the one leading the pack, Ed Skiba. Good morning.
Good morning, David. Another beautiful South Florida morning. A little bit overcast, a little bit cool, but just right. I was just talking about the fact that I've never seen down here in Florida, coming from New Jersey, I've never seen a sun plow.
You never
have to worry about shoveling sunshine. Yep. So I'm going to stay right here.
I agree, man.
Yeah, this is beautiful.
Well, I was, in a minute, I'll introduce our other co-host who's from this town that I'm going to talk about. Yeah. I did my 3 years of seminary in Evanston, Illinois, which is just north of Chicago. And the last 2 years, on Christmas morning at 6 a.m., with the wind chill in downtown Chicago was 85 below zero. And I had to go out actually a little bit further away because I had a little church I was working at in the suburbs in Park Ridge, Illinois, about 15 miles from Evanston. But it wouldn't get much warmer, you know, the further away you got. And every time I look at Ann, I'm thinking the wind chill in Chicago at morning at 6 a.m. at 85 below. Wow. Anyway, well, Ann, that's your intro today.
Good morning. I'm your Windy Cindy city transplant.
There you go.
So I went to grad school in Evanston. I'm very, very familiar. It's right on Lake Michigan.
Yeah, was that Northwestern?
Yes, I went to Northwestern graduate school. And, you know, your seminary is right down the street from where I went to grad school.
Oh, yeah.
But it's so blistering cold there because it's right down the street from Lake Michigan. I know where Park Ridge is. I work for the member of Congress that represented that area. I opened an office in Park Ridge. All that to say, we're blessed that we live in Florida right now because right now it's the best time of the year.
Amen.
The best time of the year.
A few days before Christmas in my second year in seminary, which was 1983 to 84, driving back from the church in Park Ridge, having done our practice for Christmas Eve service, my car broke down.
I remember
Oakton
this story.
Street, which Oakton is a major thoroughfare.
I lived on Oakton.
You did?
Skokie.
Okay.
Yep.
And this was rush hour on a Friday afternoon, and it just broke down. The diagnostics were, I didn't know anything about gasoline antifreeze, being a Southern boy, until on that day, 65 below with the wind chill.
Yeah, that will do it.
And I had to walk down the street to find a wrecker, only to find out they were all out. Duh. But God was good, and some people had taken my wife in who was in the car in front of their house, and they knew. We were clueless, you know. And so I came back to the car. She was gone. I had no idea what was going on. The neighbors came out and dragged me in. So we were in a nice, warm kitchen. They made some coffee while we figured it out. And lo and behold, a wrecker drives past my car. I'm looking right out the window of the kitchen to see that. And then he backs up. And so I go out to the wrecker and I say, hey, can you give us a tow to Evanston? He said, no. He said, I can give you up to 2 miles because he was already on a call. He was double booking. And so 2 miles was where the church was. So we went back to the church. He got us there. And some very wise souls knew all about gasoline antifreeze.
Amen.
Put some in the gas tank and lifted. This was back in the car, had a carburetor. Some of the young people don't know what that is. But anyway, poured some in the carb. 15 minutes later, it cranked up. I bought that stuff by the case. So I learned the hard way, but now I'm certainly happy to join you all in being here. And today we have another, our guest today did come to us from Northern Climes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're grateful to have Pastor Garfield Crumbie with us today. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's so happy. I'm going to tell you, folks, listen, you may recognize his voice because if you listen in Saturday mornings at 8:30 to 8:45, he's a brand new programmer here with WCNO. The Empowerment Zone is his program. We're going to be talking about that and several other things this morning. Introduce you to him and his ministry, and not just the radio ministry. We're going to start with, let's just start with your testimony, Pastor. How did you meet Jesus? How did he reveal himself to you?
Well, I was 15 years old, and I cannot say for sure whether it was a dream or a vision. I can't recall. I remember I had this with a dream. I'll say a dream to be on the safe side. And in the dream, I saw Jesus, and he was standing. He had those gown that reached down to the top of his foot, and behind him there was like this exceeding brightness, and it was like in three rings: a small ring, a big ring, and this, you know, huge ring. Mm. And he was standing there with his arms like this, as if he was welcoming someone.
Wow.
And that's how I came to it. When I was younger and my mom used to send us to church, I used to hide a sock or a shoe because I didn't want to go.
I understand.
But you know, when the Lord is welcoming you, how can you say no?
Absolutely. That's a great, it doesn't matter whether it's a dream or a vision, but it was the Lord speaking to you.
That's so beautiful.
Amen. Wow. Amen.
And you engaged with the invitation and then received him as Lord and Savior.
Yes, at 15.
Wow.
How did you feel, Pastor, when you saw Jesus welcoming you with open arms?
Well,
what did that invoke in you?
When I was seeing that, it was all great. But when I woke up, I couldn't remember anything. I couldn't remember what he looked like. All mm-hmm. I remembered, I saw him, and I could remember everything else. Mm-hmm. Except what he looked like when I woke up. But when I was in a dream, I would be able to describe everything to you. I couldn't remember what he looked like. All I know is I saw him, his posture, and what was around him.
Well, and ultimately, it's his invitation that we receive in the heart.
Yes.
And that's really powerful. And from that moment on, you just deepened your relationship with him.
Yes.
And now, was this... this church that you were involved in, was this your family church? I mean, the church that you were raised in?
Well, no, I grew up Baptist.
Okay.
I grew up Baptist. And then after receiving that invitation from the Lord, somehow he led me to a church that believed in the Pentecostal experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
The Pentecostal apostolic experience.
I'll give you a hallelujah on that one, brother.
I think we all concur. Hallelujah. Yes, I know Ed feels the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I, you know, grew up in that ministry. And then shortly after getting saved, the Lord began to speak to me through dreams mm-hmm. as to what my calling and ministry was. And I remember one time in Canada, we have the TTC, or the Transit Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And in this dream, I was sitting behind the driver at the front, and I remember this tall, straight-haired slim Indian fella stepped on the bus, and he pointed at me like this and said, "You've been called to be a preacher." Whoa. Just like that.
Wow. How old were you at that point?
This was around 15.
Oh, still 15. Was, oh,
yes,
okay.
15, and then I had other times. I have when I came to the States, the Lord continued to speak to me through dreams. And I remember one dream, and he used a person that we knew each other very well. And I remember standing in front of the door of the person's office, and as the person was drawing his chair to his desk, he looked around at me and said, "Have not I called thee?" And wow. When he said it in the dream, I know that was the Lord, that was not the person.
Amen.
Wow.
And I ran from it for many years, about 15 years because I told the Lord I didn't want to be in ministry. I didn't want to be any preacher. I just wanted to pursue my own personal agenda and endeavors. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time I was working at this company. It's called H.W. Wilson Company. I was doing an overnight shift. And after coming home from church, I went to sleep. I woke up and I said, well, since I'm working overnight, I'm going to read a passage of scripture to have something to keep my mind focused while I'm working. And when I turned, it's after reading, I was reading, I realized I was reading, it was in Acts 9 where the Lord called Paul. And I was reading the scripture when Paul said to the Lord, who art thou, Lord? What hast thou called me to do? And when I was when I got to that point, it's like the Lord just stopped me on a dime, just like that. And he said to me, yeah. See, I've called Paul. Wow. He's asked me what would I have to do. I'm calling you, but you're resisting arrest.
Mm. But he kept pursuing.
Wow.
You,
just like that. And and to even further bring it home, I remember sharing with my brother, we attend the same church and also work at the same company. And I shared with him the whole conversation and I that the Lord and I had, what he said to me and what I said to him and so forth. And I shared that with him. And the Sunday morning we were in church, our pastor, our late pastor, Bishop Victor G. Morris, he preached the conversation almost word for word that the Lord and I had. Wow. And what I said to him and what he said to me, and then my brother, who I had cheered before, he swung out of his seat and looked at me. So I said, well, I'm glad I shared that with you before instead of after. You know, it's always easier to broadcast than to prophesy.
Absolutely.
You know?
But now I know we have people listening right now who are in the same position you were back then. God has given them a call, and they're running away.
Yeah.
Now, what would you say to those people when you finally said yes to God? How did that work for you? I mean, what went on? And especially when we're running away from God, there's a certain level of discomfort that we have that only goes away when we turn and say yes to God.
Absolutely.
How did your life change after you said yes to God?
Well, after that, I began to apply myself in a rather regimen and disciplined manner as far as developing a stronger tie and closer walk with the Lord. I threw myself into studying the scripture for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, just studying and spending time praying, fasting, seeking Lord, spending time in his presence, to hear what else he has to say. When I go before the Lord in communion, fellowship, I always said to the Lord, Lord, anything you have to say unto me is far more important than anything I have to say unto you. So speak, Lord, thy servant hears.
Amen.
And I'll just lay there. I'll just lay there and just listen and listen and listen and listen. And I learned in doing that to discipline my spirit. So whenever I went into the presence of the Lord, my spirit had that level of expectation.
Amen.
And that takes a while, does it? I mean, there are people listening and saying, well, I've been hearing God calling me into intimacy with him. But every time I try, my mind goes crazy. The thoughts go bouncing around like a pinball machine.
Well, it's funny. I wrote the book, which I had given to Pastor Jonathan. It's called Understanding the Power and Purpose of Prayer, the Journey into His Presence. Mm-hmm. And in there, I lay out that a lot of time when we go in the presence of the Lord, we have this misconception that the moment that we kneel down or lay down to pray, we're in the presence of the Lord, and that is not the case. It is a journey into his presence. The priests offered the sacrifice in the outer court. Then he went into inner court to officiate, to get the golden censer, and then he went behind the veil. And one of the problems I found with a lot of God's people is we try to talk to him from the outer court.
This is good.
And we have to, in order to commune with him, we have to go behind the veil. And so the priests had to advance from the outer court to inner court and make the journey into his presence. And so I used to spend a lot of time listening to the late Pastor David Young Chow from Korea. And I used to listen to him teach a lot on prayer and how prayer was likened unto the layout of the tabernacle.
Yeah.
And so once I heard that, I went straight into studying it and then began to fashion my prayer as a priest entering into the tabernacle of his presence.
I want to mention that book is available on Amazon.
I was going to ask, what is the name of it again?
It's called The Intimacy, Purpose, and Power of Prayer.
The Journey into His Presence.
Yeah, and that's by Garfield Crumby.
Can you say the title again?
Here, I'll show. Okay. Oh, well, I'll tell people. It's The Intimacy, Purpose, and Power of Prayer.
Okay.
That's the main title.
The Journey into His Presence.
Journey into His Presence. That's available on Amazon. And you can get it anytime, right?
Yes.
Is it available in other resources, Pastor?
I know it's available on Amazon. There's some other outlets.
Is Barnes & Noble maybe a part of that?
At one time it was in Barnes & Noble. Oh, okay. I don't believe it still is.
Well, Amazon is a good source.
Yes.
Most people use it. I highly recommend it.
Yes.
And I'm going to get a copy myself, by the way. I've just been introduced to it, but it's going to be an exciting resource for people because God calls us into intimacy.
That's exactly. And one of the premise I laid out in there, that it's one thing to speak to God, but it's another thing to fellowship with the Father.
Mm.
And a lot of times we go before God and we pray. We pray and we tell Him what we want, or we tell Him what our issue, but we don't spend fellowship. We don't spend the time in fellowshipping with the Father. And it is in fellowshipping with the Father, that's where transfer, that's where deposit, and that's where impartation takes place. And so I used to have a problem with praying. And a lot of time in Christendom, in traditional religious Christendom, prayer to many, I liken it unto a salesman who has a quarter that he has to meet every month. And if he doesn't meet that quarter, then that quarter, because I used to work in sales, that quarter carries over into the next month's quarter.
Right.
So a lot of time we approach prayer as if, man, I have to pray 2 hours today. I have to. And if we don't pray, we feel a sense of condemnation as if we did not meet the quarter. So I would say to the Lord, I said, Lord, praying is not something I can do by myself. So I said to the Lord, you have to send the fire of prayer and kindle the brazen and incense altar of my heart. So when I come before your presence, I'm coming to fellowship and not just to carry a religious act or religious formality.
Mm.
And I, over a period of time, when I would go before the presence of the Lord, because to me, praying was talking to God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I had to learn the silence of prayer.
Yeah.
And so when I go before the Lord and I'd say, man, I'm just waste my time just laying here. I'm just waste my time. I got to say something. And my spirit, my mind would wander all over the place.
Yep.
But as I stuck to that regiment and did on that discipline, it came to the point where my mind became so still and focused that I couldn't get it to wander even if I wanted to.
That's fantastic.
And I just laid there and I would listen. And during that time, a lot of time folks will say, I was this morning I was sitting at the dining table and the Lord spoke to me. When you spend time in His presence, I remember a few years ago I was watching a National Geographic and I was speaking about this planet or this asteroid, a meteorite, whatever it was that exploded, and the debris was seen in the heavens and space. Mm-hmm. And one thing they said that really caught my attention, they said in order for us to be able to see the debris of all this, that rock or meteorite had to have exploded at least 300 years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of time when we spend time in the presence of the Lord and our spirit is still, He's depositing and transferring things in our spirit that afterward the natural man finally catch up to it.
Oh, and so that's very good example.
The time when you're hearing it, the time when you're hearing it might not necessarily be when the Lord spoke to you, but that's when your natural man now became conscious and aware of something that God spoke into your spirit as you laid it in the silence of prayer, just listening to him.
Wow. That's an interesting concept.
I totally relate to that.
Wow.
I also, in my, just from my own personal review of how the church generally treats prayer, that what you have written about, what you've been practicing, is at this stage uncommon in terms of the what most churches preach and teach on prayer. I'm not saying they all, you're the only one, but my experience with several Christian denominations has been prayer is not taught that way. It's and especially if your tradition is to have a lot of written prayers, and my tradition involves a lot. Most people, you know, have a certain measure of written prayers that they engage in worship, and those are fine. Nothing wrong with that. I practice that too, but in my own personal relationship with the Lord is, and I've been working, believe me, on the issue that you're just discussing right now. By the way, I just ordered your book on the phone because I really need it. You know, I've been struggling, I admit.
It's hard to hear from the Lord because we don't develop, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we don't develop that discipline, Pastor. So can you tell us, you said, how do we get into the inner courts as pertains to prayer? Because this is so very valuable information.
Well, the scripture lays out the patterns. It's enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise.
Okay.
So when I enter, when I go before the presence of the Lord, in my mind, I enter into the priest consciousness. You have the God consciousness. When God created man had only one level of consciousness. That was the God consciousness. When man ate the fruit and sinned, man came into the self-consciousness. And of course, Jesus Christ came to bring us into the Christ consciousness, which is connected to the God consciousness. So when I go before the Lord in prayer, I go in my priesthood consciousness.
Okay.
For the Bible says we are royal priesthood.
Amen.
So
Amen.
I go in my priesthood consciousness. And what does a priest do? A priest offers up sacrifice. And the scripture speaks that concerning the sacrifice of praise being the fruit of our lips. So I offer up sacrifice, worship, praise. I sing unto the Lord.
Amen.
And the times when I go in the presence of the Lord, and I would literally say to the Lord, I said, Lord, is there a song that you would like to hear me sing to you today? And I would lay there and I'm worshiping, and out of the blues, a song that I never remembered I knew would pop into my spirit, and I would just begin to sing that song
You're
unto the Lord.
You're ministering to him.
That's exactly
Beautiful.
What it is.
Beautiful.
And then after I do that, I just lay there and I wait and I listen. And every now and then, I would sing the chorus unto the Lord. I don't mind waiting on you, Lord. And I just lay there and listen.
Go back to you, because you said you listen. And I know some folks are saying, well, okay, I know how to listen with my ears, but how do you listen in the spirit?
When you go before the Lord in prayer, and the spirit man becomes very aware and very conscious, and if you ever been sitting on a computer and you're typing and the letters just appearing on the screen. So when the Lord speaking to my spirit, it's almost like what he's saying, he's typing it on the canvas of my spirit.
Yeah.
And it's all just coming to me. And that's how I know it is the Lord. Because there's a certain way when the Lord speaks to me, I know it's him, to distinguish it from when it's the Lord, from when it's my just natural man coming up with a good idea instead of it being a God idea, so to speak. And I just learned to acquaint myself with how he moves, with how he operates. When I many years ago, when I used to work at the H.W. Wilson Company, I realized that every day without fail, between 1 and 2 o'clock in the afternoon, a certain demeanor would come over my mind. And my mind would get in tune, and all type of thoughts and different things would come to my mind. And because I worked in a printing company, when I took stock of that, I said, you know what, I'm going to take, I got a book and a pencil I would keep with me. Mm-hmm. And every day around 1 and 2 o'clock, my mind would enter and take on a certain demeanor, almost as if my mind was hypnotized focus. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I, the Lord taught me to hear his voice and to recognize and to know when he's coming to the door to give mm-hmm. him my attention.
Wow. And but you, you began, you develop a discipline.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. When you started, you didn't have the discipline you have now.
No.
I people should, need I to know that. Cause,
no, but, I did not. At first, I thought it was a waste of time. Yeah. You know.
How long did it take you to develop that discipline? Yeah.
It took a few months.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It took a few months.
Only months.
Yeah, and you know the yeah. funny thing about it is I always tell people when I go in the presence of the Lord, I do not go to spend 1 hour. I do not go to spend 2 hours. I do not go to spend that period of time. But when you enter into the presence of the Lord and your spirit becomes really in tune, you actually lose sense of time. Mm-hmm. So the time that I've gotten up thinking I was there for half an hour, when I look at my clock, my watch, it was 2 hours.
Yeah.
Wow. Because you lose that sense, you lose consciousness sense of time.
Yeah, there's no time with God. He created time for us.
Absolutely.
Because we, as a tool for us in his life, but he's timeless.
Absolutely. And so relationship and intimacy with God is, to me, is more important than ministry, than anointing.
Absolutely.
It's more important than anything else.
Absolutely.
Because,
I would say 90%, probably more than that, of Christians, the biggest problem they have is a lack of patience and a lack of endurance to pursue the presence of God
mm-hmm.
with their whole being
mm-hmm.
despite the distractions around them. There's so mm-hmm. many distractions that we have now that people just don't take the time. You know, they say patience. The only way to get patience is through adversity. Mm-hmm. Well, so don't pray for patience.
Right.
No, absolutely.
But that's something we're lacking in our walk with the Lord is the patience to wait and hear from him. You seem to have developed an antidote.
It's beautiful.
To patience.
It's
to
all,
be able to get beyond it.
It's all, you know, the Lord said unto Moshe, he said to make sure that you make the sanctuary according to the pattern showed you in the mount.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So every area and aspect of our lives in the earth realm has a pattern in the heavens.
Absolutely.
Amen. Yep.
And
Amen.
And prayer. There's a pattern in the heavens that is laid out in the tabernacle of Moshe, from the outer court, the inner court, to the Holy of Holies. And there have been times when I go before the Lord, I made a journey into his presence. And someone might ask, well, how do you know when you're in the presence of the Lord?
Yeah, that was my question.
And the illustration I give in the book, is tell someone to close their eyes. They close their eyes, and then I would put my hand in front of their eyes, and they don't know it's my hand. I put my hand in front of their eyes. I would say, what do you feel? He said, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but there's something in front of my eyes. I said, that's my hand. So when I go into the presence of the Lord and make the journey into his presence, my spirit has this great sense that there's something standing before me. I can't see it, but I know it's there. And I get that real sense that if something is physically standing in front of me, just like my hand is before my closed eyes. I can't see my hand because my eyes are closed, but I get that great sense that there's something standing in front of me. And that's the same way when we go into the presence of the Lord, when we really make the journey into his presence.
Yeah.
But many of us try to talk to God from the outer court. He's not in the outer court. He's not in the inner court. He's in the Holy of Holies behind the veil.
The Holy of Holies, that's right.
This is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you what, we are at the bottom of the hour. I think let's take a break. And the break consists of some promos, and also I just put in a little Christmas tune, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, to get us in, keep us in the Christmas spirit. We'll be back in about 3 minutes.
Uh-huh. Good.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day.
WCNO gives thanks for the greatest gift of all, the gift of salvation. We also want to give thanks for the wonderful generosity of you, our listeners. On behalf of the management and staff at WCNO Christian Radio, we wish you and your family a very blessed and exceedingly joyful Christmas season.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day, to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our Heavenly Father a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Unto the Lord sing praises, all you within this place, and with true love and brotherhood each other now embrace. This holy tide of Christmas all others doth deface. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
And we're back for the, I guess, the last half of today's the front line. We have with us as our guest Pastor Garfield Crumbie, pastor of Divine Word Impact Kingdom Ministries, and also a programmer here at WCNO. You may have a question you'd like to ask Pastor Crumbie, especially we just finished a good conversation on prayer, and something may have been sparked in your mind and you want to pursue it. The number to call is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. You call that number and someone will answer the phone and we'll patch you right into the studio. I'd like to shift our conversation a little bit, Pastor. I want to focus on your radio program for a minute. And I want to, first I have to say that we don't have currently any programs like yours on the air here, nor in my survey of other Christian radio programs stations and their programming, is there anything quite like what you do? And so what I'm telling our listeners, if you're particularly hungry to really dig down deep into the Word of God, then the Empowerment Zone is the program you need to tune in on Saturday morning at 8:30 a.m. Most people are up by then, so you don't have an excuse. But I really believe the way, Pastor, that you approach the Word of God, it tells me you truly are not just a lover of God, but a lover of His Word, and that it is in His Word that you find life and truth and hope and meaning, yes. And you really have a heart to impart that to your listeners.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So from that point, just share with us your what's going on in your – well, first of all, how did you approach the producing of a program to begin with?
Well, to begin with, let me start off with how my teaching method. When I was in Canada, when I just got saved, and I told the Lord we can speak to me through dreams concerning my assignment. And one of the dreams that Lord gave me, I was sitting in this place on a stool, and I had a Bible open in my hand like this. And in this dream, there were people that were going to and fro. They were busy, you know, taking care of their life, doing their own thing. But in the dream, I had the understanding that they were blind. Uh-huh. And so I had the Bible open in my hand. And in a dream, I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, if I'm to be a preacher, give me my sight that I may study your word. Mm. And when I woke up out of the dream, asking myself the question, if those people are blind, how are they going about doing things as if they could see? And the Lord said to me, that's because it was spiritual blindness. Okay. So the Lord made me to understand that part of my assignment is to open the eyes of the blind, not just natural blind, but those who are spiritual blind. Mm-hmm. And so in order to do that, that caused me to have to give purposeful, deliberate, and intentional attendance to the Word, to study the Word, to apply forensic analysis to the Word, mm-hmm. to dissect mm-hmm. it, to break it down, because the food that we ingest can only benefit the body after the body digests it and breaks it down.
Amen.
And
exactly
feeds it to
right.
the bloodstream.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
Amen. And
Amen.
So in order for us, the Bible speak of the Word as the bread of life.
Yes.
So in order for individuals, for their spirit to be fed, the Word, in order for them to digest it, the Word of God has got to be dissected, broken down, and cut into small pieces.
Yes, yes.
And then put back together by expository and exegetical teaching,
mm-hmm.
So they can feed their spirit that they may go thereby, instead of just sitting down, taking the whole thing, stuffing it in your mouth.
Right, yeah.
You know.
It's the difference between a five-star meal at a world's great restaurant and a McDonald's visit.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Very much the same. Yeah.
So that is why I, when it comes to studying the Word, I not only studied the Scripture itself, but I studied the Scripture within the cultural and historical context mm-hmm. in which it was written.
Right.
So I can have a more of a comprehensive or panoramic view of exactly what's going on to help me to make sense of the Word that I'm reading, that I'm dissecting. What I find that a lot of folks do, they will memorize the letter of the Word,
mm-hmm.
and it's up here,
right.
but they do not meditate on the spirit of the Word to get it in here.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes.
And so when a lot of folks, when they read the Word of God and they memorize it, it stays in the outer court of their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. to study it and to meditate on it ushers it into the inner court of your heart.
Amen.
And into the most holies of your spirit that you can walk it out.
And that seems to correlate with what you were sharing with us about prayer.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's definitely work of the heart.
Yes, absolutely.
Great to have Scripture in your head. You know, I like memories of Scripture that I can share. But And I would have to say again, I'm under conviction here because I
Me too.
Haven't done a lot of that in terms of letting it get into my heart.
Yes, we have to. Many of us, like I said, we ingest the word by taking it in our mind, mm-hmm. but we do not digest it by breaking it down in so our spirit can absorb it. And so it becomes a part of our natural range of motion instead of it being an activity that we're trying to carry out. It becomes a natural part of our range of motion. So we won't have to ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? Uh-huh. Because it's already imprinted in the DNA of our spirit. Because yeah. we ingest it, we digest it. Yeah. And so it now becomes a part of us.
And then truly when we talk about being fed by the Word of God, that's the kind of, I hate to say the end game, but that's the fullness of when we take in the Word of God and let it digest. And also part of the discipline that you have, which I think is important, is it's bringing in the exegetical and the hermeneutical aspects of,
absolutely.
In other words, getting the depth, getting into the, you know, what are the meanings of the word? What are the cultural experiences of the writers?
Yes, because what I see today in the church is that preachers, ministers, pastors, they focus more on application teaching right. than interpretation. And my motto is interpretation must precede application because yes. application is based off interpretation. So if you do not have the correct interpretation, then your application will be off. And the application is empowered by the correct interpretation.
And that's a great schematic for rich discipleship, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is doing it exactly that way because Jesus wanted his disciples to have more than head knowledge. And he sent them out with experience. And with the teaching, put the experience to work, put boots on the ground, if you will. But all of that is getting into the spirit.
And, exactly.
And filling the inner person, the spiritual side with that.
You know, the scripture says in Genesis, concerning the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The scripture says that God moved upon the face of the water. He moved upon the face of the water, but he spoke into its deep. Mm-hmm. And so the word of God, you know, science say we're 75% water. So the word of God, mm-hmm. when we just memorize the word of God, it stays upon the surface of the water. But mm-hmm. when we meditate and study the word of God, then the word of God can minister to our deep. That's why the scripture said that it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divine asunder of soul and spirit. So the word of God has to become a depth charge.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah,
it has to become a depth charge because that's where it has its explosive impact, not on the surface. You have to go deep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, that's a great image.
Are you on a certain book of the Bible right now on your Saturday program, or how does it work with what scripture you pick out?
Well, what I've been teaching, this series I've been teaching for the past 5-6 broadcasts, is understanding the importance of studying God's word.
Okay, yes.
And so each week I deal with a point.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And bring in plenty of scripture. And I have to say, Pastor, that in my experience of listening to your program and when I'm producing it, which I will be this Saturday and next, because I'm now here in the presence. I mean, you know, God is moving. It is the presence of God. But I the first time I produced your program, at the end of it, I'm thinking, he had really less than 15 minutes because you have an open and a close. Mm-hmm. And in that time, there was more substance relative to the word than I've ever heard in that time frame. I mean, it's anointing. It's grace. Mm-hmm. We know that. But that's awesome. So I know you approach it in prayer, but when you're actually in the work of doing that.
Well, when it comes to the word, what I used to do when I was younger growing up, I would carry index cards with me, and each day I would write one scripture on that index card, and I'd rehearse that scripture throughout the course of the day. What I'm doing, I'd take it out of my pocket, I'd read it, I'd memorize it, I'd rehearse it, I'd meditate on it. Then the next day I wrote another scripture on the cue card, and so by day five or the end of the week, I would have meditate and tossed like a tossed salad in my mind seven mm-hmm. different scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but that's packing it in. But you're, again, I know it's the Holy Spirit guiding you, mm-hmm. but, you know, I was going to say, well, I've never been able to do that. and of course, it gets callings are different and all that. But
right. mm-hmm.
because of your depth in the Word, your study, the breadth and depth, you can bring that kind of, I really want to encourage people to tune in. I really do.
Yeah.
I think it's a real treat to have someone who can expose the audience to the Word in that way.
Mm-hmm.
When you're, you know, and because it teaches how to get to the Word. It's not just the first reading, the surface reading,
right.
but to show the life of God that's in His Word, and to see that, experience that life being released.
Absolutely. And I think the key is, you know, many folks go on this religious journey where they want to read the whole entire scripture, Bible for the whole year. But I do not take that approach. I will take one verse of scripture and I'd sit down and I'd spend my whole studying process on that one passage of scripture. Mm. But by the time my study is over, I started in Genesis, but by the time my study is over, I end up in Revelation. Because when you're studying that one particular passage, it takes you on a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And on that journey, you're discovering many other truths that you did not set out to find.
Yes.
But because you're on the journey, you discover and come into other truths, and I have to run reference. And by the time the day is over, I spend 4 hours on just that one verse. And
that's
so
beautiful.
That's what's important. It's not trying to, you know, read the whole Bible.
Yeah, for quantity.
You know, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to God, quality is important.
Mm-hmm.
Quantity is memorizing the scripture and having all that in your head, but quality is how you live it out.
Your approach to the Word, which is wonderful, and my prayer is that more people will hear that and say, maybe I ought to do that. But often get into comparison and contrast when I get into the Word. And as you're talking, what I'm seeing in the contrast is the word duty, and opposed to that is the word spirit. And I remember Jesus challenged his detractors all the time and mm-hmm. quoted from scripture when he would send them off and say, here, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy
exactly.
and not sacrifice. And he was using the comparison of duty, which is very easy to not just embrace, but it takes over from having any depth.
Correct.
In other words, I've checked those boxes, right? I've been to church every Sunday this month. I've checked those boxes. I put some money in the plate. I looked dutiful when the preacher was preaching. I attended the Bible study. I went to the bake sale and bought a muffin. I'm good. That's duty. But mm-hmm. the depth is the spirit.
Yes.
And this is correct. Where the Spirit of God meets the spirit of man.
The Word and
absolutely.
The Spirit.
And that's where you're calling us to go.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That, and this is actually Jesus did that.
Can I make an observation on that?
You certainly
can. I've been sitting here mulling it over in my mind, and I'm trying to do it in a way that's constructive and not destructive to what you're doing. It seems to me like the depth of understanding of Scripture that you're speaking of, Pastor, is applicable to teachers more than the average Christian. And in teachers, understanding what you're teaching and going into it, it makes their preaching to the average Christian much more valid and accurate.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure that the average Christian would understand half of what we've just spoken about.
Which I'm glad you said that. Jesus said unto the people in his day,
yep.
He said, search ye the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life.
Right.
Now, when the Pharisees said to Jesus, they were questioning him concerning divorce and what Moses' law said. Of course, they were trying to trap him. And now Jesus didn't ask them, he didn't ask them, did you not get the electronic transmission? he didn't ask them, didn't you get the smoke? He asked them, have ye not read?
Yep.
So when he said that, he's expecting, like we said, when you pray. He didn't say if you pray.
Yep. Yeah.
He says when you pray. He says when you fast. He didn't say if you fast.
Yeah.
He said when you fast. The Bible also speaks concerning the Jews of Berea.
So yep.
The Jews of Thessalonica, they heard the word of God. They received it and embraced it with joy. But the scripture said that the Jew of Berea, that they were more honorable. Because they heard the word, they received it, but they went a step further. They search out the scripture daily to see if those things be true. And so Jesus expect us to know.
Yep.
That's why he said in his word, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So the way it has been put forth is that the average Christian, number one, there should be no such thing as an average Christian.
Amen.
Because there's nothing average about God.
Amen.
But if it is our desire for relationship with the Father that will make us want to study his word.
Amen. Amen.
And there, a lot of time in the culture we live in with Christians, because we do not know what is God's position on a matter, we default to the cultural norm or to the social norm. Mm-hmm. But when we study the word of God and we know what is God's position on a matter, then God's position becomes our position.
Yes.
And we're able to live a life that is in agreement with heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Exactly. The explanation I was looking for. You hear that out there, you average Christians?
And we are all called to be like a teacher.
Amen.
We're all called to show ourselves approved.
That's
so it's not just the pastor or the one behind the pulpit. We all have to be erudites to the word of God.
That's right.
We all have to go deeper.
That's why the Hebrew writer said to the Hebrews, and I think he said it to Christian, when you should be teaching, you still desire to be taught.
Yes.
That's what Paul said to the Corinthians. So when you come together in that corporate setting, how is it some of you, you have a revelation, you have a teaching, you have a song, you have a prophecy. So when we come together in the corporate setting, it is not just to take, but it's to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
It's to contribute because iron sharpness
iron. Amen.
But if it's only the preacher that's doing all the sharpening, after a while he himself becomes dull.
Yeah.
The exciting thing to me, Pastor, is you're explicating this whole thing, and now we're talking about the church coming together, is that the discipline that you have that is really a calling from God in terms of wanting to be more intimate with us and opening up to that intimacy, letting the word of God ferment in our spirit, and when we bring that process into community, into the body of Christ, and we can share with each other, and we share our experiences, our stories, what's happening on the inside. There's great power in that, and it makes me think that the disciples, on the day of Pentecost, that all began in earnest for them. Undoubtedly, Jesus taught them, and that's how he related to them. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit fell on those, the 120 that were in that upper room, and they went out. They were going out in the power of the Spirit. They were changed forever. And that's what was going on inside of them that wasn't happening before the day of Pentecost. But that's the nature of the church, that Jesus wants us to be that way.
Correct.
Amen.
Correct.
And you're calling, you're one of many calling the church back to that quality and character of relationship.
I'm glad you used that phrase, that term, because one of the things the Lord said to me many years ago, that part of my assignment is to call his house back to order and to call his body back into alignment that it may function according to his original and intended design. And so the my teaching, the whole ministry is geared towards doing that. So that's why I teach the way I teach. And
Amen.
Because that is the
You're focused on the vision the Lord gave you.
I haven't been privileged to hear your teaching yet. Do you keep it on a level where the average Christian can understand where you're going? Because we've used some words here that I guarantee you that people listening have no idea.
No, I
yeah.
My, you know, when I remember when my children were born, before I had children, I told my wife, so when my children are born, I'm not going to speak to them Google, Gaga, and all
good.
That stuff. I said to them, I said, I'm going to speak to them in full sentence.
Okay.
Because doing that, it helps to develop their mind processes.
Amen.
Yes, it does. And so they really able does.
To even speak clearly, even at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just like with Christians, if we speak to them in the Google Gaga of the word, they're not going to go. They're not going to go anywhere.
Absolutely.
So you have to teach them on a level that will challenge them to come up higher.
Amen.
So you have to go and get your concordance. So you're going to have to go to the dictionary. That's what growth
take
and
off your Strong's dictionary. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Take it out.
Start working at it.
It challenges you to have to.
Okay.
It places the man on your intellect and on your spirit to study so you can come into understanding. But wisdom is the principal thing. So get wisdom.
Yes.
But it's all thy getting, get understanding.
And that's the fruit of that. You know, we have to put out an effort.
Absolutely.
It's not going to fall at our feet, but if we do that, we'll get blessed.
Absolutely.
Time is
How
running out.
How hungry are they? Anyway, yeah.
I'm sorry, time is running out. And I know some people are thinking, wow, I'd like to visit that pastor's church. And I know things are in process, but how can people connect with you on the Sabbath, Pastor?
Well, right now, to reach me, you can communicate with me through gcrumby@divinewordimpact.org. gcrumby@divinewordimpact.org.
And the Crumby is spelled C-R-U-M-B-I-E.
Yes.
So gcrumby, C-R-U-M-B-I-E, at
divinewordimpact.org.
Divinewordimpact.org. Because you're still in the process of setting up a regular Sabbath worship environment.
Yes.
And that's coming.
But
people get in touch with you, you can keep them in line because some people I know are very hungry for what you're doing.
What about your Zoom? Is that open to everybody, Pastor, or no?
Yeah, well, the Zoom, the individuals who communicate with me and depend if they want to go in that direction, then I would send them the Zoom link.
Got it.
To be able to connect and come on the Zoom. But that's why I do, I love my teaching. I teach the next generation discipleship training class. I teach pre-marital classes. I do mentoring.
And this is all on Zoom.
I do it all on Zoom, yes.
Wonderful.
And if you want to prepare yourself for this Saturday's live broadcast, which again is at 8:30 this Saturday here on WCNO 89.9, we do have on demand on the website.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to our website, WCNO.com, in the top of the screen, there's three blue ovals. I'm going to say one of them has archives on demand. Click on that. It'll give you a screen and you can pick the date you want to listen to. And it's a Saturday. You got a calendar. If you don't know how to read a calendar, well, I can't help you. But otherwise, you know how to do that. So go to this. I think you've been on the air for about a month.
Yes.
Right? So you can go back a month to that first broadcast and you can listen right there. You can download it and listen to it later. But listen to his teaching, his method, and you'll be prepped for the live program this Saturday and probably be hooked, like I am, hooked to listen to this program. I'll tell you, at this point, all I have time to do is say, Pastor, thank you for being here
Pleasure
with
to
us.
Amen. Amen.
Appreciate
this has
that.
Been very rich.
Rich, and we'll have you back.
And I'm so privileged to sit here.
Absolutely.
And the other thing I have to say, thank my co-host for being with us. Thank you, listener, for listening. Tune in again next week at 11 a.m. on Monday morning for The Frontline.
interesting.
Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front line.